Welcome back, friends. We are on the last section of the next to the last unit of this whole course. This unit is Unit 11. We're talking about critical thinking. I'm Sky Pike, and we're doing this course, Reading and Writing for College Students for the Christian Leaders Institute. I hope you've learned a lot so far as we've gone through this. In this particular section, we are talking about the different types of critical writing. Descriptive and analytical writing, what voice we should use in writing. We did the last section. And now we're going to talk about the style of writing that we're going to do. So we're going to have some things that we're going to talk about with style, and we're just going to go through these in a descriptive fashion. Do you remember what that means? Descriptive. So here it is. Choose a suitable writing style and stick to it. You know, there are whatever, how it is you're writing, just keep the format the same. Just keep the style the same. Don't skip around from being informative to being super critical style to being persuasive to being. Keep your style of writing the same, however you do it. And make sure you think out your paragraphs. Make them the basic unit of the flow of your paper. Paragraph A with the beginning thought, with the main sentence, with supporting secondary ideas to that sentence, with the proof of evidence. Then paragraph B that's going to be expand a little bit more on paragraph A, or maybe narrow a little bit more what you're looking at from paragraph A. With its main idea, with the secondary evidence and peripheral ideas that are attached to it, and so on throughout the whole paper. The paragraph is your main unit. It's important that you put paragraphs in. Many people write, many of my students have written, without actually separating the paragraphs. Make sure that you have the paragraphs there. Make sure the paragraph is talking about one basic topic, one basic idea, that is separate from the next paragraph and separate from the paragraph before it. Most forms of writing are going to use the active voice. There are a few forms of writing that use the passive voice. For instance, my discipline, scientific writing, uses the passive voice. But most writing will use the active voice. What does that mean? Well, it means that instead of saying, I went to the store, I would say, or to say, John, well, let's use a different example. John was going to the store. Or John goes to the store. To the store, John goes. There's an active voice. You're not using a lot of past tense. You're using present tense. You're using the action words. You're using that show vigor, that show energy. Those are the type of things the active voice uses. It is something that is positive, that is meant to state that this is real. Put statements in a positive form. Don't put them in a negative form. It is not good to say the United States has not been a good country of the world. It's better to say, other countries have proven to be better in their performance of whatever it is, the United States. Just don't use negative statements. It's when we see no or not or neither, those words actually, when we read them, convey a negative feeling in our mind that makes us feel negatively about the work. So always try to put your statements in a positive statement, avoiding the use of no and not and those negative statements, neither, no, not, nothing as often as possible. Make sure that you use the economy of language. Your words need to be clear. They need to be concrete. They need to be precise. You have to be, and this is really where the wordsmith comes in. You have to construct your words in such a way that you are saying exactly what you want very precisely, but saying in such in a way that uses as few words as possible. I have actually shortened papers by a half page to a page simply by rewriting several sentences in the paper so it more concisely and precisely conveyed what I was trying to relate to people. Keep the related ideas, peoples, and things together. Watch your tenses. This is a hard one for people. They'll start out in the present tense and go to the past tense and go to the past participle, and they'll be all over the place with their tenses. If your topic is in the past, keep it in the past tense. If your topic is in the present, keep it in the present tense. Don't mix the tenses and sentences. That's bad grammar. If it is something that is continuing to do, use the continuing present tense. It's the tenses that you have to use convey the chronology, convey the time of the writing that you're doing and when you're talking about within the passage that you're writing. Don't overuse emphasis words. Use struggle, wrestle with what is the right word with the correct denotation and connotation. Remember those themes, the denotation is the exact word, the literal meaning of that word. The connotation is the emotions and ideas associated with that word that are slightly different. For instance, the difference between a lawyer and attorney. Place yourself in the background. Take a step back. Look at what you're writing as someone that's not intimately involved with the writing. Put yourself, it's better not to use first person unless it's a truly unique piece, usually a fictional piece or a piece about your own history. Write naturally. Don't overdo it. Don't use fancy words. They show up. Keep drafting, keep revising, keep editing, keep drafting, keep revising, keep editing, keep drafting, keep revising, keep editing till you get it where you want, the paper where you want it. Listen to the rhythm of the writing. How many have heard our African American brothers preach and hear the cadence of the preaching that is able to really draw us into that message? The same thing is true when we write. There's concadence, a rhythm to our writing that will actually help to draw people into our writing in a way that is, if it's too staccato, too broken up, it will actually repel people from our writing. Don't overqualify things. Keep it simple. Keep it just as low key as can be. This is bad. This was very quickly and suddenly, obviously, incredibly put right. That is a whole bunch of overqualified words. I would just say this was very quickly put right. That would be sufficient for writing that. You would need no more of those extra words. Make your links clear, but don't over explain your conjunctions. How are you conveying the thought from one idea to the other idea? What are your conjunction words? What are your linking words? How are you using them? You don't have to explain them. People know what they mean. Secondly, maybe you've written your paper and now you say, I don't like that particular style. I think I should go from the analytical style to the argumentative style. Okay, do it. You can do that by changing a few words within the paper, and it'll be basically the same paper, and you can do it. That's fine. You can change your style. Maybe the next time you write a paper, say, I'm going to do this style, the persuasive style instead of the argumentative style. That's fine to do that too. You can do that. once you've completed the first draft, it's very important that you review what's been written and ensure that your style is concise and corresponds to the arguments. Your logic is there. People can see your logic, and the statements of evidence and flow of thought are all there in a way that flows smoothly from one to the other. And it is never, ever, 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 ever enough to revise something once. The process is going to be at least 4 to 5 times. I had a student the other day that did a presentation, and I don't think he did anything other than go through it once, and he did not do very well. That's the same thing for you with these papers. If you don't revise, edit, draft, revise, draft, edit, revise, you are going to end up being a person that doesn't get a good grade. This process should be repeated to ensure the consistency of the writing style, to ensure that you're using the proper verb tenses each time, that you have your logic is all in order, that the flow of thought is there very, very well, that your conjunctions are correct, that your wording is exactly as concise and precise as what it can be. You've used the economy of language. All these things we talked about in the first page, which you should think firstly. Now, this is in secondly, you should be thinking about. You may have different styles of communication to relate your argument. But maybe that particular style of communication is not going to relay your argument well. There's a better way to do it. So you may have to change some of that. Even the way you lay out your argument may need to be polished a little and changed around, so it's a little bit better and easier to read. Thirdly, let others look at your work. When I was in grad school, we used to say it's better for your friends to criticize your work and find all the faults. In fact, do more than find all the faults than go before your committee or your professor, who were experts in the field, and have them find your faults and could grade you on it. The same is thing true here. Have your friends read your paper. Have your the loved ones in your life read the paper. Get their thoughts on it. Let them tell you what they think about it. It will help you see where you are thinking of something, a sentence, for instance, structure in one way, but someone else reads it completely different. So you need to clarify what that sentence means. It will let you, they'll tell you if it's precise and concise, if the logic flows. It's really also an exercise in humility to let someone criticize your work and tell you where it's could be done better. But it's also very critical that you do that, because it will make you a better writer and it'll help you do better in a class, and it will show that you're a person of integrity who is also a writer. If you can get someone that's a critical thinker to review your writing, that'd be great. I reviewed the writing the other day of a friend of my wife's who's in Germany. And I've provided some suggestions that he thanked me for, because it helped him think through the process of his writing. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to help one another. That's what Christ commands us to do, to be compassionate to one another, to be kind to one another. And it's always good to have a different perspective of your arguments. Again, you may be thinking you're saying something and someone else is reading and saying, that's not what I read. The other thing that happens is we start to read our own writing and we start to memorize it. And sometimes we start to skip words that are we thought we typed, but they're not there. So to have someone else read that can pick up some of those typos that we make. It's really critical that you have someone else read your papers. And that is something I would highly, highly encourage you each to. when you have someone else that's a critical thinker break down your arguments and constituents, it's going to help you recognize blanks and biases that you didn't think about because they were your blanks and biases. You overlooked them. They may help you in your own metacognitive thinking, thinking about how you're thinking. Because when someone else pushes you and your arguments, it forces you to evaluate and reevaluate how you're thinking about that. And it will make your thinking processes better and therefore make your writing better when you revise your paper. It may help you to become more aware how you actually approach an argument. Maybe we don't think about how we think as much as we should. Maybe we don't think about our biases. Maybe we don't think about the tendencies in the way we present things or the way we write things or how they could be better. So if we let other people look at how we write, they can give us input on how we can do it a whole lot better. Then finally, have the critical thinker evaluate your reasoning. When they read your paper based on the premises that you give, based on the evidence that you give for those premises, based on your argument, do they come to the same conclusion? Or do they come to a different conclusion? Is their conclusion more valid than your conclusion based on your evidence? Is it not? Perhaps they're both equally valid. Well, then what needs to be incorporated in your argument to make your argument better? All these are things that is going to help you understand your writing and make your writing better. It's always important, however, to keep an open mind, to be always thinking about what you're thinking, and be reasonable in your approach. Be reasonable. You know, you may, another person may say, this is something that I disagree with, or I think you could write this better. And you may look and say, no, I think that's the way I want it. I think it's written better. But be fair in your evaluation. The other person is doing it for your own good, so be fair in your evaluation. 9 times out of 10, the other person's right. There are very, very few instances where that other person, you may say, no, I think I'm actually right. Maybe it's even 99 times out of 100, the other person's right. But usually the other person is going to have another alternative view or a different way of looking at it that will help you understand yourself, your writing, and make your writing better. Nothing damages a critical thinking process more than a lack of awareness and open-mindedness to the arguments you're making and unwillingness to allow other people to look at your arguments. What about when you're writing about the scripture, when you're making lessons, Bible lessons? What about when you're writing papers outside of Christian Leaders Institute? What about when you're writing for other people in the community, in your church? Are you checking what you're writing? Are you evaluating what you're writing? Are you making sure you have proper grammar? Are you making sure you have proper punctuation? Are you letting other people read it so that they can evaluate what you're saying and see if they agree that what you think you're saying, you're actually saying? These are all things that are critical to good success when you're doing critical writing. It's part of the critical writing style. It's also part of bringing glory and honor to God because we're doing everything we can to the glory and honor of Christ Jesus. If you're doing biblical stuff, biblical writing, biblical materials, it's also probably good to have a pastor or someone who's more knowledgeable or is as knowledgeable in the Bible look at it to make sure that it's free of wrong ideas about the scripture or incorrect theological ideas. Especially that's true when it comes to writing within a denomination that you may not know all the denominational stances on certain issues of theology. But my friends, if you will do this, if you will write critically, write in a critical style, you will find that you become a very good writer and that your writing will inspire others to think rightly, to do rightly, and even maybe to follow Christ. So thank you for being here. Thank you for this time, and we will see you again in the future, the near future, for the last for the last unit. God bless. We'll see you soon.